Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Our Lord had engaged in an intense discussion about the resurrection with some Sadducees. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, who was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Matthew 22:34-37. Mark's version differs only slightly from Matthew's. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." Mark 12:28. Deuteronomy does not call this teaching the first commandment, but it does say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." Deuteronomy 6:4-5. I hear preachers make great distinctions among the words Moses and Jesus used, heart, mind, soul, strength, and might. But I am not sure we ought to make those distinctions too grave and too technical. For example, what did the Lord intend us to understand by using the words mind and heart? Does not the word heart usually mean the mind? For example, what did Jesus mean when he asked the multitude that had gathered in Capernaum, "Why reason these things in your hearts?" Mark 2:8. By using the various terms I have mentioned, could Moses and Jesus be saying, "Love God with all you are and with all you have. Do not withhold anything from him." And what does it mean to love God with all we are and have? Moses lays great stress on keeping God's commandments. In this same chapter, Moses instructed the Israelites, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land that you go to possess, that you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command you, and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." Deuteronomy 6:1-2. The Apostle John demands that we keep God's commandments. He makes this truth too plain for anyone to ignore or to deny. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5:2-3. Many religious teachers deny that God requires us to keep his commandments to be saved. They argue that having to keep God's commandments would mean we were earning our salvation. God would be indebted to us. God cannot be our debtor, regardless of what we do or refuse to do. But can we have God's approval if we do not love him? If we do not keep his commandments, we do not love him. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. In his parable of the vine and the branches, Jesus told his disciples, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." John 15:10. Do you want to abide in Christ's love? To do so, you have to keep his commandments. But nobody can keep all of God's commandments perfectly. That is absolutely true. But should we not strive with God's help to keep them, all of them? We can certainly believe in his Son, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins. After we become Christians, we can dedicate our lives to helping the poor, the sick, and the discouraged. We can also support the preaching of the gospel. And we can meet regularly to worship our Heavenly Father. May God help us to love him with all we are and with all we have. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.